Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
So I think it was on Monday night, because Hooman will be in tomorrow, thank God. Otherwise, how would we ever peak for the week? They went and saw Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
And
it looks stupid.
You know what? They loved it. My brother and sister-in-law went with Hooman, and I guess he brought a ton of people. I think Rudy's going to do the review with him, right? So Rudy was there. Hooman brought a big posse of people, and even Hooman was like, oh, my God. Apparently, it's a total comedy, and it works, and it's really funny. I haven't seen one thing about it that has made me want to see it at all. And they were raving about it yesterday.
All right.
I know.
Good.
Yeah.
They should try to come up with better ads for it then, because it looks stupid.
Right. They should. Okay. Uh-oh. I saw this morning and thought, uh-oh. The evidence against Michael Jackson in the HBO documentary Leaving Neverland, it was pretty damning. You know, these guys are believable, and they're laying out their story.
I jumped off while the guy told the camera every bed on the grounds of Neverland. He knew where there's a bed everywhere in that
well,
place.
Turns out some of the beds that he says they did it in didn't exist at the time he said he did it.
Wow.
Yes.
So he's lying.
Well, I'm going to read you this, and you can decide. And there's other things that are sort of in question, and I'll give you those as well. None of it really is going to change anybody's mind, but it is sort of interesting. Like, oh,
well, look,
that doesn't seem
that's
likely.
Damning.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was damning. To be able to say, I know there's a bed in the movie theater. There's a bed above on the second floor of this one building that we were in all the time. The mom's even like, I knocked on that door and it was locked. And he came to the door to intercept me. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
And I just walked out, or I turned it off. I'm like, I don't want to listen to a person's story of pedophilia.
Right. And how they just sat there going, can I see around you to my son?
I get it. And I've heard enough. So this is absolutely changes things.
So there's a guy by the name of Mike Smallcomb. He once wrote a biography about Michael, and he found a couple contradictions in the testimony of the alleged victims, James Safechuck and Wade Robson. Safechuck claims that Michael abused him between 88 and 92, and he was 14 the last time that happened. He also says he was abused in the upstairs room of the train station at Neverland Ranch, which I think is exactly what you just mentioned.
Right.
Smallcomb has permits, copies of, you know, permits to build, that showed the train station wasn't approved for construction until September of 1993 and didn't even open until early 1994 when Safechuck was then 16. So, and he's saying between 88 and 92 he was abused, and this is saying they didn't even build the train station until 93. Hmm. So, or I'm sorry, they didn't even have the permit until then, and it didn't open until 94. The director of Leaving Neverland, who was the guy who put the whole thing together and filmed these guys saying, we did it there, we did it there, he's a guy named Dan Reed, and he is not disputing when the train station was built. He says the date they have is wrong for the end of the abuse. He's saying that Safechuck, in his testimony to the camera, to the HBO camera, got his end date wrong. In other words, he's suggesting that Michael abused Safechuck until he was 16. But the documentary says that Michael groomed young boys, discarding them when they hit puberty in favor of younger boys. So they're now saying the abuse must have gone on until Safechuck was 16. And listen, abusing a 16-year-old is also absolutely horrific, but it doesn't stick with the, you know, he dumps them when they hit puberty thing. The second country, so immediate feelings on that? I see you pondering.
I, if you're saying something about someone like this, I feel like you need to get your story right. Mm. On the other hand, I can't name dates for stuff. Like, right. I hear people mm-hmm. who say, often it's sports reporters who will say, and I feel like they even cheat. They must go back and write down stuff in order to remember the dates. But they'll say, I remember when I was 7 and I was at the ballpark with my dad and the Mets played the whoever. And there I was and we had, and they describe a scene and you're listening going, who remembers 1973?
Right.
That vividly.
Right.
So I do think that there are people who can do that. That they somehow are able to really put the pieces of an event together and then they can retell it in a very detailed way. I also think that most of us can't.
Right.
And most of us, especially if you're being
might be able to sort of abused, narrow it down, right.
You might be less likely to nail down exactly every single detail.
You know, I wonder if there's a way that, you know, if his parents have like records of trips that they took or what have you, because if the, you know, that's 2 years further into this kid's life that, you know, he would have had to be abused in order to have been bagged in that bedroom up there.
It's hard to say. Like, look, you're murdering the guy's legacy. Did he already do enough to that legacy himself? Of course he did. I mean, look at his face. They don't even use the pictures of him at the end anymore because he was so scary looking. Mm-hmm. So now you see the pictures. Because
they're always around the Thriller era when he just started to get some work done, but he was still clearly a black man.
He was falling apart there at the end. Like, he was a mess.
Oh, boy. Well, he'd had so much done.
So he'd already done enough to his legacy.
I've never done any plastic surgery.
But if you're going to make accusations like this into a camera.
Yeah. You better have
where
your
you could get
story
it, you
straight.
You could get it right. You know, he could have taken the time to double check his facts and get them right because he wasn't under, he hadn't been arrested, hauled in, and put under a spotlight and told, talk, stool pigeon.
Right. The other contradiction in the story is, I think, less concrete, but here it is anyway. It's Wade Robson. In the documentary, he said he stayed at Neverland with Michael in 1990 when the rest of his family went to the Grand Canyon, and that's when Michael abused him. But back when Michael was facing child molestation charges in the early... Now, don't forget, he testified on Michael's behalf. Mm-hmm. So it's quite possible that he lied during that testimony and isn't lying now. Back when Michael was facing child molestation charges in the early 90s, Wade's mother testified in a deposition that the whole family went on that trip to the Grand Canyon, including Wade. She said the same thing in 2016. And in Michael's 2005 trial, Wade told the court he'd never been to Neverland without his mother until 92 or 93. And in 05, he was still defending Michael. So I don't know. Dan Reed, the director, has nothing to say about that so far. But he is basically saying the abuse must have gone on longer than Safe Chuck had previously reported.
What is your instinct? What do you think?
Well, my instinct is that that guy was molesting little boys. And I've always thought that. Mm-hmm. And these guys screwing up a couple dates doesn't really change my feeling about
it. Me neither.
It
doesn't change at all. Okay, so you messed up a couple dates.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
I do agree, though, that if you're going to be putting a documentary together, you should do some fact-checking and get your timeline straight. And, you know, because otherwise it does undermine it. It does, you know, it does make it seem like, oh, so these guys are just
instant recall,
off whatever.
Though, is hard under the best circumstances.
Right. Yeah. Although things like being molested for however many years would be a fairly deep imprint and that
or,
you'd be able to figure out.
You block it.
Exactly. Mm. They could be suffering from PTSD and have some mental issues going on. And
well, they both do have mental issues, right? I mean,
yeah,
they've both
they
been dealing.
They said that they're suffering
yeah, that's
now
a good
as
point.
Adults.
Moving on to other stars who are shamed, but less shamed than, say, Michael Jackson. Aunt Becky.
Oh.
Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin. Uh-huh. from Full House and Fuller House.
By comparison, this story is just fun.
It is. Agreed. And you'll love some of these details. So the Fuller House stars are standing by Aunt Becky. They're conveniently not really mentioning her decision to commit fraud to get her daughters into college. Candace Cameron Bure and Jodi Sweetin were asked about Lori Loughlin on the Today Show yesterday. And Candace said, "It's too personal to us. We would never want to talk about someone who's such a dear and close friend, but we're a family and we stand by each other and pray for each other." Mario Lopez.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, it is a good answer. Mario Lopez is just a 90s star, so I guess they're lumping him in here. But he's friends with Lori and Felicity Huffman, and he's also defending them. He said, "Sometimes nice people make mistakes, do tough stuff. As a parent, you want to do anything for your kid, but sometimes that can get a little cloudy. So God bless them and their families." Lori Loughlin showed up in Boston. I guess this was yesterday. Because they all have to appear in court. I think Felicity's headed there as well if she's not there already.
Right. Can I ask you a quick question? Do you think people expect them, the friends of, say, Lori Loughlin, to turn on them? Like, is that what a viewer... Because they seem to be surprisingly careful with their wording. And really, all they have to say is, "I love her.
Yeah.
We're great friends. I don't agree with what she did, but I love her."
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need to be careful. It's okay, I think, unless they feel like so many people hate Lori Loughlin that they need to be...
Oh, that they need to distance themselves from her?
Like, I don't know. What are you being so...
Keep their own star shining. Yeah, I don't know if...
I know it's negative. The feeling about Lori Loughlin is very negative. She was fired from all those... From that whole channel.
Yeah. She owned the Hallmark Channel, apparently. So she arrived in Boston via private jet.
Her PJ. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got, they have Massimo money. Uh-huh. She and her husband showed up. Massimo Giannulli. They landed at Logan International Airport in their private jet. They were in great spirits, despite having to appear in court. And she, I guess she immediately started signing autographs for her fans. Outside her hotel, she was chatty and super friendly, about 15, 20 autographs. And then, so some guy, they call him Beantown resident Robert Shepis, said, she came over and she goes, "Guys, thanks for being such good fans." She's about to go in. My friend was like, "Can we get photos with you?" She was like, "Of course." And he said he thanked her for coming to Boston despite her legal troubles. And she said, no, it's okay. They are... appearing in court today, accused of paying $500,000 in bribes to get their daughters Olivia Jade Giannulli and Isabella Rose Giannulli, 19 and 20, their ages, into USC as fake recruits for the crew team.
Why is it in Boston?
I don't know.
Because that singer guy is from there and that's where the charges originated?
Oh.
I don't know why they're...
I actually
why
do not
is
know.
Everyone going to Boston?
That's
I don't
a good
know
question.
Either.
Somebody has to be based there. The pair are very stressed out, Vinny. They're having a hard time. I know. And they can't wait for the court hearing. It's hard for them to think about other things right now. Yeah, I bet it is. The people who co-star with Felicity Huffman on Wisteria. What's the Wisteria? Oh, Desperate Housewives. That's
yes.
the name of it. I'm like,
Wisteria Lane.
That's the name of the street that they live on. They're pissed. You know,
what do you mean they're pissed?
They're pissed because that show's not going to get played the way it once was. And anytime it plays, they get a little cha-ching. So Full House and Fuller House.
Doesn't this move play right into something called Desperate Housewives?
You know, that is a good point. But apparently it's putting that, I guess Eva Longoria was bitching about it.
It's directly in character with the people on the show.
Who these people are.
They're desperate.
She got, I think Felicity Huffman's character got addicted to Ritalin at one point on that show.
Oh, yes, she did.
Remember that? She's like cleaning the house. She's like, I can get everything done. This is like the dream drug.
Uh-huh.
Because she, you know, she was so under
her
children.
Legal meth, huh? Mm.
So it looks like her co-stars are not as supportive as... Look, Aunt Becky is a very small part of Full House and Fuller House. Like, I don't think Aunt Becky having this scandal necessarily tanks Full House and Fuller House.
Like, yeah, she didn't make regular appearances.
Right, she was a small part of that show. It wasn't like the whole show revolved around her. And Felicity Huffman, I would say, was part of an ensemble of, I think there were like five Desperate Housewives. I actually think that...
I never saw it once.
Oh, really?
It was a good show.
Had a couple good seasons in there. Mm-hmm. Who was the main character? What's her name?
Terry Hatcher.
Terry Hatcher.
Marcia Cross.
Yeah. So she was
Lois was the star?
She was basically the star. I feel like she sort of anchored all the... But Marcia Cross, who we know from Melrose Place, was in it. Eva Longoria, she got famous from that. Nicolette Sheridan was on it for a while.
That's right, she was.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just like the four households. Anyway, apparently her co-stars are like, oh, great. Our gravy train's going to come to an end because of this chick. And frankly, her sins are far... I mean, she paid $15,000. Like, the Massimo people, $500,000. Like, right.
I don't think
it's better or worse, but...
I don't... The money's different, but also the daughter's famous.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Like, Olivia Jade is famous.
She is famous.
I mean,
I couldn't pick
Instagram's
kid
famous,
out of it. Right.
But nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, she was getting all kinds of money from makeup places and.
And the scandal. Mm-hmm. It's just delicious that she's like, oh, I don't really like school.
Yeah, I don't even want to go.
I'm never there.
That's. Part of it too, don't
and
you
it
think?
Was even more delicious that she was on like the chancellor of the school's yacht
when the bust happened. Right?
Oh, fantastic! And speaking of Full House, actually, the guy who created the show bought the house a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was who the purchaser was. The actual house that they used for the exterior shots in the intro to the show. He bought it in 2016 for $4 million. His plan was to recreate the interior to match the set of the show and then have it be like a museum. And the neighbors went, no. Already people gather outside this house. The last thing we need is for you to be charging admission at the front door of this house. Like, we already can't find parking in our neighborhood. You can't do that. So, and he said, okay, I understand the neighbor's concerns. And instead, he gutted the whole house and turned it into like a kick-ass, like San Francisco style, you know, beautiful home. And it looks like he's going to be putting it back on the market. It's due to be completed this month. It'll be listed as 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath. They do say that if you're a Full House fan, in the backyard, I guess there's some poured concrete and some of the cast members' handprints are in it. Mm. So you get a little something.
Huh.
But
I don't know why he wouldn't have gone through with the duplicating the set and then just Airbnb'd it.
Right.
People would have paid crazy money to stay in that. I mean, I think.
I agree with you. I think it would have been quite the attraction.
But they might wreck it.
Yeah, that's true.
Take stuff.
Oh, right. Well. Yeah, you know, he's obviously a rich dude. He creates shows. He lives in his own house in Beverly Hills. But he's basically saying, yeah, if I can't make it, I'm just going to see if I can turn a profit on it. And I'm sure he will.
$4 million
in 2016, total redo, all these new Pinterest and Lyft, whoever else, millionaires. Mm-hmm. Someone will swoop right in there and buy the full house.
The famous shot of that house is with the bridge in the back, right?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen them.
They're row houses.
Yeah.
They're just total San Francisco style.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tall.
What do they call them? Ladies?
Yeah, Victorians. They're painted like ladies.
Painted ladies. Yeah. That's what it is.
And then in the background is the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm. Oh.
It's spectacular. I've never even been to that location, but I know that the view is...
Somebody pointed it out to me one time. I don't remember what street it's on, like Deviz or something.
I've never been on there. It's around... There.
Am I wrong? Is the Golden Gate behind it?
I see the city. I don't see the bridge.
It might be depending on what angle you're looking at.
That's probably true.
But I could be wrong. I mean, listen, I never watched that show.
The Mrs. Doubtfire exteriors?
No. This is like closer to Fell Street.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not sure what the cross street is, though.
It's close to that area. All right. What's coming up in the news, Ben?
Oh, I have so much, including a whole sports league folds while they're still in season and hacking and more after these.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. The Looking Glass is back up and running with full sound.
Yeah,
if you dropped off a while ago, you can come on back. You won't just be seeing our mouths moving. You'll hear the words that come out. Go to radioalice.com/watch. That's a direct link to The Looking Glass, which runs live throughout our show and then is looped throughout the rest of the day. So anytime you want to go and check us out, you know, see what amazing outfit we're wearing that day. You know, mm-hmm. You never know. What, does Vinny have a hat on? Yes or no?
I do.
Yeah, well, people could have found that out
darn
for themselves.
It.
Yeah, see?
Spoiler alert.
It's all been revealed. Go to radioalice.com/watch.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the 40th Annual 2019 Pride Run.
Ooh.
You can sign up now to get in on the Pride Run, which happens Saturday, June 29th.
How long is it? Does it say?
It doesn't say in front of me, no. I believe it's a 5K, 10K. There's walking,
several,
running. It's
right.
Not.
Got it.
It's not a...
Not like a marathon or something.
It's part of the Pride festivities, and this year it benefits Gender Spectrum, which helps create gender-sensitive and inclusive environments. Mm. I know a family that has used Gender Spectrum, and they've been extremely helpful with their kid.
Great.
Like, really helpful, and it's hard.
Mm. It is.
So Gender Spectrum's a great beneficiary of the 2019 Pride Run. Get signed up now.
Right.
I mean, if you want to.
Yeah, if that's your thing.
Right.
Otherwise, just go and watch the people running and stand there.
Here's what's happening.
Or sit.
This reporter must admit.
What is it?
That he has no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, no. What?
The Full House home does not have a Golden Gate view possible. And I looked I searched the whole internet.
Oh.
The whole internet was searched during the break, and I could not find a manipulated photo of where the Full House house had the Golden Gate Bridge behind it. It is, in fact, Transamerica, the building.
Oh, you can see the tower.
You can see the city.
Oh, nice.
You can see, but you cannot. So I don't know where I got that in my head.
Well, San Francisco.
But a texter said that they edited it in the bridge. It's at Alamo Square, the area, and they said that they edited in the Golden Gate Bridge.
So you're saying in the actual intro to the show, you can see the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's what someone,
the
I don't recall.
How would I know
I've
that?
Watched
I've
this
never
show
seen the show
a ton of times, but I've never even really noticed.
Can you see the bridge from Alamo Square?
People are saying no. Texters are saying you can't see it from there.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm completely clueless.
Don't worry. I really think that that was a lot of energy.
Did I get my
that
celebrity
was...
homes mixed? Can you see the Golden Gate Bridge from Hooman's house? I think you can.
You used to be able to, but then they built a building that blocked his
sliver
of a view. Well,
that wasn't there when I was there in the street crying because you guys ditched me.
Right.
I think I was looking at the Golden Gate Bridge while sobbing quietly alone in my car.
Or while driving by, snapping a picture out the window to show that you were in the area.
Whatever,
and
Sarah.
Heading
I
home.
Don't think that that's the way that went down, but fine.
Well, I don't need to scour the internet to find that information out. I was there.
Anyway, here's what's happening.
Okay.
Two proposed drunk driving bills would give California the distinction of having some of the toughest DUI laws in the country if they're passed.
Well, what are they?
One of them, known as the Matthew Clausbach Mandatory Ignition Interlock for DUI offenders. Boy, they really got to rename that. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a long one.
The bill would require anyone convicted of drunk driving to install an ignition interlock in their vehicle, which prevents the car from starting if the driver fails an alcohol breath test. So you've got to blow before you can start it. I think you might even have to be blowing while you start it.
I think
it's a thing.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
1,000 people are killed every year from drunk drivers and 20,000 are injured. They're trying to reduce those numbers, and this will do that, they say.
Well, that would be on top of how already devastatingly expensive it is to get a DUI.
Yes.
I'm sure that that is not cheap. And I was actually thinking, most cars don't even have a normal key ignition, like we think of when we think of starting a car.
Right.
Everybody's got a push button for their car now. Like, that would be quite the contraption to have to install. I wonder what those cost.
Well,
don't. How about this? Don't drink and drive. Right. Never find out.
A second, more controversial bill, which this is where things get dicey.
All right.
Would change the legal drunk driving limit from California from 0.08 to 0.05.
Mm. So no drinks.
What is the problem with that, you ask? You can't go to dinner and have a beer.
Right. You cannot drink.
Now, do I care? Absolutely not.
Right.
But the people who own restaurants do.
Mm-hmm.
The people who own bars do. I mean, frankly, you think about the bar business. Police could just post up outside any bar and pick people. It's like shooting, what do they say, shooting fish in a barrel?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that is really how that could go down. They don't, because these businesses, I guess, are dependent on someone having drinks at their place.
I've seen cops hanging around the dish.
Yeah, I've
when
seen
I've been
cops
walking
hanging
out
around
there right? late at night. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, good.
I think just to make sure that people take a second and think about it.
Should you get in your car?
Probably
Here
not.
Man, don't they have lots of fights at the Deuce?
I wouldn't know. I don't hang out there enough.
Anyway, it's controversial, and the hospitality industry is expected to fight this particular one because, again, that eliminates a person's ability to go have dinner and have a beer.
Right.
Or a glass of wine.
A glass of wine with their meal.
A 0.05 legal limit
It doesn't eliminate that. You will have to really plan out in advance how you're getting there and how you're getting home. And listen, Uber or Lyft or
taxi,
whatever. That might be the way. Sometimes, you know, we'll just do that just because what if? You know, last thing I want to do is get pulled over for drunk driving. My God.
Right.
I feel like such an idiot. There's so many ways to not have that happen. That, like, when we were kids, or even when we were young and our parents were our age, like, they couldn't call a Lyft. They couldn't look on their phone and go, boop, 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 boop. Oh, look, driver will be here in 2 minutes. You know, you had to get on a taxi. Yeah, he'll be there in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if you were lucky. It's so easy now. There's no excuse for drunk driving anymore. There just isn't.
And it's still happening.
Of course it is.
Cops in Tulsa, Oklahoma were doing a traffic stop on Saturday night when suddenly they saw someone missing a right front tire drive past them.
But
just driving on the rim.
Oh, the tire's just gone.
Cops quickly wrapped up their stop, the one they were involved in, and then they followed the car and pulled it over. 28-year-old Amy Dillian, was behind the wheel. She told the cops that, I've only had a couple shots of tequila.
Oh, is that all?
They were like, well, but you don't have a front tire. So, driving on the rim was one dead giveaway that maybe she'd had more than that to drink.
Right.
Also, she could barely stand up and failed a bunch of sobriety tests. That was another giveaway. Huh. And the last giveaway was she had a full margarita in the cup holder.
Oh, my God.
You got to have a road drink.
She blew a 0.21.
Oh, my God. Holy crap.
And was arrested on several charges. The cops decided they were going to have to drive around and see what she'd hit.
To get rid of the
tire. To figure out.
Tire.
Yeah, I mean, what have
Let's
you
hope
been
just
up
a curb.
To?
What did they find?
They didn't find anything yet.
Oh, all right.
But there'll be more charges if they do, in fact, find she's a hit and run.
A full margarita. Dummy.
Here's another one.
Sounds good.
29-year-old Andrew Hartman got into a crash earlier this month in Port St. Lucie, Florida. He failed some sobriety tests on the scene, so he was arrested for DUI, and then the cops searched his car and found a bag of pee.
Bag of pee? What's he keeping his pee for?
When they asked him why, he said, my wife's fetish
is gross.
That.
No. A cold bag of pee?
My wife's into that.
So he's just making that up.
So the cops went to his wife and said, you into this? And she said, oh, come on.
God.
And she said, absolutely not. I have zero fetish for that. Zero.
Oh, can I guess what he had it for?
What did he have a bag of whiz for?
Clean pee for a drug test.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep. Andrew
so he did
had
it before it he went on whatever binge he was on.
Because he was planning to use it to beat a drug test at work. His wife's furious for pulling him into his, you know, storyline.
Right. Really? I have a pee fetish?
So he got a DUI, he's in trouble at home, and he's probably going to fail the drug test at work.
Sounds like it. That guy managed to screw his life up in one night.
People are trying to come up with new ways to make money, and there are lots of
get-rich-quick
alleys opening up. Consent condoms are out there now.
Consent condoms?
They can only be opened when four hands simultaneously press special pressure points on the side of the
belated April Fool's.
Is it?
I don't know. Is it?
It's not on April 1st.
Very interesting.
The condom can only be opened by two people. And it's been launched to promote the idea of consent during sex.
I kind of like that.
You
kind of. I think that's pretty neat.
It's been a while since I've been on the scene, but I do know, and I've told you the story, so I'll repeat it because it's not new information. An ex-girlfriend of mine that I was doing it with, the condom was in my pants. Mm-hmm. I mean, my pants were right next to... Mm-hmm. We became boyfriend and girlfriend, but at that time, we were not. Mm. All I had to do was reach, and I alligator-armed the condom because I was like,
I can't reach
quite
it.
Get there. Because you're in the middle of it. Mm. And now you're telling me you, of all people, are into the
sweet
idea of everyone stopping and getting their thumbs on the...
Well, it's kind of sweet. It's like, it's a, sort of almost like a... Yeah, and press your fingers right here and here. And I'm also picturing, like, on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, when they get the little note from Chris Harrison at the dinner when they're on their one-on-one date for the fantasy suites, and the key falls out. They open up the card, and there's the key. And, like, a little consent condom could fall out, too, and they could be like, will you also hold this condom with me? I will. Click.
Okay.
It's
mean,
adorable.
I don't want to be, you know, politically incorrect.
Oh,
but
no, whatever.
Rapists into condoms?
Yeah, I'm going to say no, but no one could accuse you later of...
Oh, she thumbed the condom.
Yeah, she consented.
She opened the pack.
She opened the pack with me. Takes four people. I mean, four hands, two people. Or four people, you know? What? Don't be so judgy.
All right.
I think it's cute.
Well, I hope it works out for them.
Sure. I wonder how much it's going to cost.
I think they're giving them out right now.
Oh.
To,
I can't imagine
bars.
What the packaging must look like. I mean, is there actually some little, is it like a hard shell case that this thing comes in?
I don't know. I'm looking at it.
Like your contacts?
I can't really tell.
I don't have a picture with the story. But, oh yeah, I do. Oh, there it is. It's a box. Oh, it's got little pressure points on the box and you have to touch it.
Mm. Oh.
Hard
yeah,
to carry
that
around, though.
It's not going to fit flatly in your wallet, that's for sure. Maybe you could wear it on a chain around your neck.
Consent
condom.
Seems
handy.
You know what's weird about the condom, too? On that event that I mentioned, I had them in my pocket.
Yes.
But there have been other times where I, and this is ridiculous, this is dumb thinking on my part. I didn't bring a condom with me because I didn't want to be like, oh, it's a lock. It's happening.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to be the guy that's like, whoosh,
I'm
ready. I'm
ready to bone you, and I've been thinking about it all day.
It's a dumb thing. It's a dumb thought process because I'm getting into her head and assuming she's going to think lowly of me that I was thinking I was going to get to this point with her. And yet, now I'm the guy without condoms, mm-hmm. and here we are in bed.
Right.
So either I'm going to get up, or she's going to green light me. Both bad plans. That's dumb. Uh-huh. That's stupid. What is that? You never had that happen?
No. Nope.
Guys were always like, yeah, I'm ready. Oh, you didn't even. Never mind.
I would think as a girl, too, you almost wouldn't want to be able to reach into your dresser drawer. And
like, I got very lucky, Vinny, over my years.
It's what is.
I wasn't a condom-using person.
Oh, boy.
You're not a breaks kind of girl.
I would say I was sporadic at best. What's that? Are you waving the checkered flag?
Yes.
All
go.
The lights
go,
are green.
Go!
Wow.
Why would we ever stop?
Too electric. Oh, you know what? I'll save that story. I got some text. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Four and Five says, Vinny, San Francisco has hardcore regulations on Airbnb. In a nutshell, if you don't live there, you cannot Airbnb it.
Oh. You can't buy a place to Airbnb?
I guess not.
Huh?
That's why the Full House house was not
Airbnb'd.
Redecorated mm-hmm. and Airbnb'd.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's sometimes, probably a pretty good rule. That way people can't buy up a neighborhood and just have a bunch of people coming in every week.
This is a good point.
All right.
408 says, because we were talking about the Michael Jackson story leaving Neverland.
Yes.
And there's a contractor that is saying the permits are dated differently than the storyline this guy is presenting.
Yeah. It's a guy who wrote a book about it, and he says he has copies of these permits that show that that place did not exist when that guy pointed at it and said, I did it in there with him.
Sometimes places are built before the permits are approved. It happens at my high school. They built the weight room before they actually got the permits to do so.
Oh.
Lots of people do work long before the approval.
Or never get a permit.
Right. So that is so true.
Yep.
Good point, 408.
Yeah, thank you, 408.
Michael Jackson ruined his own legacy. This man was just telling a story. Yeah. Watch the after show with Oprah. The man is broken. Mm. No, the man's broken when he's, like, I watched it and went, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. Because I went, I'm not going to listen to some, I can't listen to it. It's graphic pedophilia. No thanks.
Right.
I literally laughed forever imagining Vinny with his dad break story.
Oh.
I don't know why it got me rolling on the floor laughing.
Why is that funny?
I know he was injured.
My bloody knees were hysterical to you. Okay. Well, that's all for now. What's coming up in the trash?
Well, I'm going to start with the charts, and we'll go on from there.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.